So we've been working through systematic theology. So last time we were talking about creation and the doctrine of creation. And we said that under the doctrine of creation, God created the entire universe out of nothing. It was originally very good. And he created it to glorify himself. So, we were looking at the doctrine of creation, and we said that God is transcendent and far above us puny people. And we also said that he's also immanent, and he's involved with us, and he doesn't leave us alone. And they're just all of Scripture shows us that. Okay, he doesn't leave us alone, and he's involved with us. So today, we want to take a look at, in matters of decisions and matters of the will, what does God's involvement look like? Anyone that's been around, at least this church, says knows that, you know, good Christians don't say good luck. You say good providence. Right? We're going to have a pot providence, not a pot luck, because we don't believe in luck. Well, okay, providence. What is providence? So I want to take a look at that today, because God is involved with us, and what does that providence look like? What does it mean? Again, today I'm going to go through We all are going to go through a lot of scripture, and I'm going to pop a bunch of verses up there, and if you don't want to read, just nudge whoever's next to you, and they'll read, and we will have a lot of verses. Besides, when you guys read the verses, it gives me just a half second of thought to catch up to myself, even though, yeah, I made the slides. Sometimes I need a half second. Providence. And this is from Wayne Grudem. Providence. God is continually involved with all created things. We're just talking about that. In such a way that, and we're going to discuss 3 points today, in such a way that he keeps them existing and maintaining the properties with which he created them. Okay. So that first section, we're going to take a look at some verses. He preserves. He preserves. So
he is.
Sure.
Hebrews 1 through 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power.
Okay, he upholds. The upholding. The Greek is phero, to carry, to bear. It's active and purposeful control that he's upholding that universe in that notion of to carry from here to there. And for all you grammar people, it's a present participle. Why is that important? Well, because it actually is the present means that it's continually carrying along. It's not that God just, hey, you know what? He made the universe. Cool. No, he's upholding the universe, continuing on. God is actively doing that.
Yeah, I thank you for bringing that in, because, and we have to think about that level of detail, or we're blessed when we do, because going back to the comment about our founding fathers, I think they believed in God, but they were deists, and they thought God was a watchmaker that was kind of hands-off. And humans were, you know, responsible for taking care of their own fate. And we have to be really careful to see what the Bible says, which is God never left the scene. He is constantly present tense, interacting, carrying us along. So thank you for bringing that point.
Yes. So God upholds the universe. All right, Dave.
Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that's excellent to deal with the JWs who just want verse 15. But then you go to 16 and 17.
And obviously, with all of these verses, there's full context. And I encourage you, and the notes will be posted either this week or next week, especially right after I send them to Tony or to Jerry. But yeah, go ahead and read the context of any of these verses.
For example, who is him?
Every last thing you know here has context. And yeah, I'm trying to make a particular point about providence today. So I'm bolding, I'm highlighting these particular words dealing with that. But yeah, you can get into wonderful in-depth study on all these things. God is preserving what he's created.
Yes.
So let's take a look at Acts. Jed?
Acts 17. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being.
God's not far from us. He's involved with us. He has our being. And let's take a look at Nehemiah. Daniel.
Who, me?
Sure. Anybody. It's okay. Sorry.
You are the Lord. You alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in it, in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you.
God preserves all of those. He preserves all of us. Grudem has labeled this section preservation. And when we think about the preservation, God preserves the things, even the very details of things, like, okay, water. What? Water continues to be water. Water's really weird, right? In that when it freezes, it expands, and the water freezes up at the top, so all the fish don't die. Everything else in nature doesn't work like that, but God made it that way. And really, we don't think about it, but God's providence really is the very basis for science. We observe, because we can observe the consistency in nature, we know that it's predictable. And we can look at that behavior and we understand, hey, look, it's going to behave this way, and it continues to behave this way year after year after year. And it, so many times we don't think about that, oh, we think because, gosh, we can put labels on things, right? We're so smart, we don't need God. Well, God is the one that made this stuff, and he keeps it consistent. And that's why science is so powerful for us, because it's observable and it's predictable behavior.
And a prerequisite for science, a prerequisite for observing things, and the verse before this one, is a fascinating philosophical statement, because in him we live and move and have our being. Our very existence as physical objects is wrapped up in God's continuous upholding. If he stopped, we would stop being.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So, God preserves. The second thing, providence. God's continually involved in all creation in such a way that he cooperates with created things in every action, directing the distinctive properties to cause them to act as they do. That's a little wordy, but you know what? I copied it from the book. And I'm quite certain as we take a look at Scripture, this will track a whole lot better. So let's look at some. All right. Hey, Craig, can you read from back there?
If I had my wife's glasses.
Cool.
Concurrent, Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory.
So the works there, the underlined works. Again, in the Greek, it's to accomplish, to bring about. It's God who brings about all things according to the counsel of his will. Okay. Still, let's take a look at some of the examples of concurrence. And we'll start simple with like the stuff. So some of the stuff, Jed.
Hedge fund, concurrence. What's the definition of concurrence?
Nope, that's further along. Let's take a look at some examples. Great question. I realize that, you know what, I should put that, but I think it's gonna come on a slide a little bit later. So let's look at some examples of concurrence. But yes, I realized that maybe I should have defined it, but that's four slides later, or three slides. So we'll look at examples, and then we'll circle back to that. So, but you know what? Let's look at an example. Meteorology. Yes, inanimate creation stuff. So Jed, go ahead and read that.
Inanimate creation stuff. Hey, snow, rain. Job 37. By the breath of God, ice is given. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world, whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen.
He causes the snow and the rain. And I bet a Richter can read that all the way from the back.
I'm going to try.
That's like one of them.
By the breath of God, life is given.
No, he just read that. So let's go on to the next one.
You cause his wrath to grow for the livestock and for the man who cultivates.
So snow, rain, grass.
Creation.
Inanimate stuff. And yeah, okay, both of those are from poetic literature. I get it. And sometimes we look at poetic literature a little bit different. So, you know what, Noel?
Sun and rain, Matthew 5:45. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
So, that's from Matthew, and Jesus is speaking here. And he makes the sun to rise and fall. He sends the rain. What about, so that's just inanimate objects. Hey, Jeff?
Animals.
What about animals?
Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow.
God's involved in even critters.
I mean, I know we all heard it, but that in the first verse, when it kind of struck me, it says he does this for love. I mean, this sounds like very mechanical, kind of taking care of business actions, but it's not just unconnected. It's his love. His character just shines out in all of these.
Yeah, again, it's going back to that whole, God isn't just the God up there who kicked everything off. God's involved with us. He's involved with his creation.
He loves us.
He's proud of us and he loves us.
And how is he involved? That's where we're talking the providence.
And he even loves the evil.
Going to get there.
Yep.
Yep. He's involved. And not trying to understand. We're trying to understand what does it mean that he's involved. Brad.
The talking creation. What he created. He created down the molecule to the atoms. He's involved in it.
Yep. And he continues to be involved. He continues to hold things together. He and yes, down to the atoms, right? I remember learning about the protons, neutrons, electrons. Well, why does it all hold together?
Because they're quarks.
Oh, yeah. So we get even smarter and we say, oh, there's this strong force. And
what is it?
What is it? Why is it? Well, because. And the Bible says God's holding it together.
And right. He's our Father.
And that is the case, Jeff.
Yeah, what I like in that verse I just read is that if we do nothing, the birds are still fed. If we do nothing, there's weeds that come up. There's trees that come up. We don't have to plant it all. The Lord has it self-sustained because he created it. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So God's involved in inanimate objects. He's involved with the animals. He cares about the animals. What about like just random chance stuff? Chance events. Chance events. In Proverbs 16, it says the lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly from the Lord. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yahtzee. What? Wait. Really?
Yep.
Really? God's involved in...
Sovereign.
Huh. So... Yeah. Yeah. And that's just stuff, right? Well, what about, like, people?
Only the ones he made.
Nice. I like that.
Job 12:23. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he leads them away.
So, nations. He leads them, he destroys them, he's in charge. Yeah, but we have elections. We have, we think we're controlling things. Well, yeah. Okay. All right.
And then later, there's judgment.
Go ahead and read.
And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. That they should seek God.
God's established the nations. He sets it up. Right? So, big things. God cares about the big things. That's easy for me to kind of swallow. Oh yeah, God's handling the big things. Okay, but what about the little things? The Bible talks about that, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Little, just our daily needs, right? Simple, simple daily things.
That's what we need.
Yep. And, hey, Bert.
Philippians 4:19. God will supply every need according to his riches.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. How much? Every need. And God will supply it. But that's easy to kind of get lost sometimes when we're in the midst of it, right? In our life. What about even before? What about beforehand?
Psalm 139:16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
Even before we were born, God knew, he saw, and he established our steps, right? The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Not just the physical events, right? And the things, but what about our talents, our abilities?
1 Corinthians 4:7, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of the one against the other. For who did any superiority? What do you have that you did not receive?
It's a rhetorical question, expecting the audience's understanding. Look, Paul was chastising them. Hey, look, you're puffed up with, you're thinking you're superior because you've got spiritual gifts. No. What do you have Amen. That you did not receive?
Zero.
Yeah. And that was his point there. So God's involved in even our talents and our abilities. Okay. Amen. Amen. People's desires. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all of their deeds. And that's just talking about people, right? God knows. And he fashions the hearts. And what about believers' hearts? Kathy?
For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Both to will and to work.
And it's far from proven scientifically, but there have been recent tests done where they placed people in a room, gave them a button, and told them to press it like exactly whenever they wanted to, just randomly whenever they wanted to. And they hooked up electrodes to their brains. And what they discovered is that like multiple milliseconds before they decided to press the button, which on scientific terms is a large scale, milliseconds before they decided, their muscles were already tensing in preparation for that decision. So on a scale above their mental will, there was already something preparing them to decide. Mm. Mm. So it's far from proven, but science has already questioned it pretty well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love some of that stuff. So, Jed asked me a little bit ago, concurrence.
Before you move on,
yep.
Do you have Ephesians 2:10 in this list too?
No, this is not an exhaustive list.
Can I just mention it?
You bet.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand.
Foreordained that we should walk in them.
It seemed to be, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You bet. God has before ordained or I'm sorry, whatever you...
He prepared them.
So, yeah. Absolutely. Concurrence. Okay. Webster's definition. Two or more things happening or existing at the same time. Concurrence. Things happen concurrently. Okay. We just looked at a whole bunch of things. So what do you mean by providential concurrence? Providential concurrence. The divine is the primary cause, but it's often invisible to us. While the secondary cause is observable, but God is working through creation and keeping it true to its nature. I showed you a whole bunch of examples where God says that he's in control and he's causing things. So, providential concurrence. The fact that God's working, but yet we think of and we see the natural.
Mm-hmm. Well, a good example is Christ's birth. All through history, it's predicted the Messiah is going to come. Scripture describes what it's talking about, but in a different way. It just says, when the fullness of time has come. What does that mean? It means concurrent. Mm-hmm. It's ready to happen because this is his plan. Mm-hmm. And we think, well, it's our time then. No. We can't explain it. No one can understand this, but it always concurs with his, it goes with God's plan, not with ours. That's what concurrence is.
Yes. I would absolutely agree with that. Lots of times, because we can see our portion of it, we focus on that. And we often think that, you know, the manipulating or controlling is causing. Well, no, it's not causing. It isn't. And, you know, a couple examples of this, meteorology. We all know that the weatherman predicts stuff. But does the weatherman cause stuff? Well, okay, it is true that right now we've even figured out how to maybe manipulate a little bit. We can even cause rain. And we can even do stuff. But are we really causing? Heck no. Right? Venezuela's in trouble because why? Well, there was an earthquake. Yeah. And, right, botany. You know, we're so arrogant because, we understand how plants grow and why they grow. And if we control these certain variables, we can get these reproducible results. Yeah, but that actually just points to God and not our awesome power and our view. It's caused by God, primary, and it's caused by the created. And there is this, okay, we see this end, but the Bible tells us that the primary is God.
That's right.
And so there's a really important principle here. We need to affirm that God causes all things that happen, but in such a manner as to uphold our ability to make willing choices, and they have real and eternal results, and for which we're held accountable. And we've looked at a whole bunch of scripture of examples. Did I explain exactly how it works? Did he explain exactly how it works? How does it exactly, how does God's deciding things, but yet we're still allowed to, we're still allowed to make choices? How does that work exactly? Here, there's the answer.
I don't know.
I'm positive what Scripture says. I'm positive God's in control. But he allows us to look and kind of think that, yeah, we're making decisions and we get to do things. So, yes, so quit.
Maybe you'll cover this, but we have to remember through all this, God is not the author of sin.
Okay.
So we talk a lot about God being...
You bet. We'll get there in a sec. So, providence. One more aspect. Providence. God's continually involved in all the created things in such a way that he directs them to fulfill his purposes. God has a purpose in all he does and in the world. And he providentially governs / directs all things in order that they accomplish his purposes.
Glory.
For his glory.
Absolutely. And in the interest of time, we'll go fast here. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all.
Amen.
In Daniel, we see, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none of them can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done?
Right.
Heck no. Romans 11, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever.
Amen.
Amen. And the verse that we took a look at and we stood up and quoted or said, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So, Grudem has defined providence. God is continually involved with all the created things in such a way that he preserves. He keeps them existing and maintaining the properties that he, as he created them. He cooperates, or the concurrence, with created things in every action and directs their distinctive properties and causes them to act as they do. And he directs them to fulfill his purposes.
And all present tense active.
Yep. And so that's the long definition. We've gone through each of the three elements of providence and how God is involved with us. But now Tony just had to be a stinker. What about dark providence? Bad luck. Evil. How does that all interact with providence? That absolutely is what we're going to take a look at next week. Because there's no way I was going to cover all that in 1 week. But now we've got a foundation for providence. And next week we'll take a look at dark providence. Bad luck. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for not leaving us to figure things out. Thank you so much for revealing in your word, your character, your goodness, how you're continually involved with us, and yet you let us make decisions. You concurrently decide things, yet we seem to feel that we're independent, and you hold us accountable for our decisions. Lord, help us to dig into your word more, to love you more and more as we see your coming approaching.
Yes.
Amen.